from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Here is the news read by Ray. First, the headlines. Indonesia ready to hold Inasja Business Forum for the first time. Minister Bahlil Lahadalia affirms Indonesia can help the world achieve net zero ambition. And now the news in details. Director General of Asia Pacific and Africa at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Abdul Qadir Jailani, conveyed that Indonesia is ready to hold the Indonesia South Asia and Central Asia Business Forum in Jakarta on October 7th with the theme Unlocking Potential and Fostering Economic Partnership. The forum will meet government and business people from Indonesia, Central Asia, and South Asia. Abdul Qadir Jailani, in a statement delivered in Jakarta on Friday, explained that the activity aims at promoting business opportunities and opening access to non-traditional markets and facilitating partnerships among the parties. Increasing trade, investment, and tourism relations on a two-way basis among Indonesia and the South and Central Asian region. In addition, Inasja is also a strategic interaction platform. Finally, it encourages connectivity and people-to-people contact among Indonesia and the South and Central Asian region. He said that the government's target is to create tourism cooperation.
Dan kawasan Asia Selatan dan Tengah. Di sini sekali lagi ini terkait juga dengan poin terakhir yang tadi saya katakan adalah target kita adalah untuk menciptakan kerjasama pariwisata.
Moreover, Abdul Qadir Jailani also mentioned that Inasja Business Forum offers a number of opportunities for South Asian and Central Asian business partners to build networks with medium and large-scale business in Indonesia, including with state-owned enterprises. Business partners will also get a first-hand understanding of Indonesia products, including facilities from the Indonesian government through business matching.
Pengusaha Indonesia adalah antara lain ini saya katakan yaitu pasti.
Opportunities for Indonesian entrepreneurs include increasing business opportunities and opening wider collaboration opportunities. And the government will also get first-hand information about market dynamics and economic situation in each country represented by these entrepreneurs. And more importantly, this forum can also be useful for entrepreneurs from South and Central Asia to expand their markets to the new region, especially to Indonesia, because the government knows that Indonesia is a very large market.
Untuk melakukan ekspansi pasar ke kawasan baru, terutama ke Indonesia, karena kita ketahui bahwa Indonesia merupakan pasar yang sangat besar sekali.
Overall, the Inasja Business Forum will be followed with a number of activities ranging from strategic dialogues, business matching, and exhibitions. Abdul Qadir Jailani hopes that continuous organization of Inasia will strengthen Indonesia's bilateral relations with South Asian and Central Asian countries, most of which have deep ties from the time of independence, according to Abdul Qadir. Indonesia hopes that Inasia can also strengthen South-South partnership, including to support the Platinum Jubilee of the 70th Asian African Conference commemoration in April 2025. Moving on to the second news. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Bahlil Lahadalia is upbeat about Indonesia mobilizing its profuse natural resource to contribute, notably to the global efforts aimed at achieving the net zero emission target by 2060. According to Minister in a statement received from his office in Jakarta on Friday, Indonesia is blessed with an enormous amount of natural resources. The country has quite abundant renewable energy sources. Speaking at an environmental, social, and governance awarding ceremony, Minister Lahadalia also affirmed that the transition to the more intensive use of new and renewable energy has become inevitable in countries across the globe. The third news. The Indonesian Navy is helping support the domestic industry by involving it in the modernization of defense equipment. Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Muhammad Ali delivered the remarks after inducting two domestically manufactured offshore patrol vessels into the naval fleet. According to Muhammad Ali, at the launch of the new ships at a shipyard in Bandar Lampung, City Lampung on Friday, it shows the Navy support for the domestic shipping industry, as 75% of the materials is in the construction of these ships are all within the country. He informed the construction of OPV warships is a strategic step taken by the Navy and the Minister of Defense to increase operational capacity and capability in facing increasingly complex maritime threats. The fourth news. Indonesia will organize the 2024 Indonesia South and Central Asia Business Forum in Jakarta in October. According to the Foreign Ministry Director General of Asia Pacific and African Affairs, according to the Director General Abdul Qadir Jailani at the 2024 Inasia press briefing on Friday, he expected the forum to be an effective platform for Indonesia and South and Central Asian business actors. The forum, which will be themed Unlocking Potential and Fostering Economic Partnership, will seek to explore untapped business potential in the South and Central Asian regions. He added that the forum will promote economic collaboration and business opportunities between Indonesia and the region, as well as forge partnerships and increase trade investment and tourism. The fifth news. The Higher Institute for Tourism and Hospitality, in cooperation with UN Tourism Regional Office in Riyadh, recently organized a workshop called Innovative Approaches for Sustainable Tourism Practices at the Institute's headquarters in Jazan. As reported by ArabNews.com, the workshop featured an introduction to sustainable tourism. Under the supervision of Luis Nicolas Barrios, a regional manager for innovation, education, and investment at the UN Tourism Regional Office, those participating in the event undertook brainstorming sessions aimed at promoting critical thinking and the generation of ideas. Ali bin Said bin Jabir, director of the institute, explained that the initiative was part of the body's ambitious plans for providing job opportunities for Saudi youngsters while helping them towards meeting the needs of the international hotel and tourism industry through the institute programs. These had been designed in cooperation with international academic institutes and the local private sector. The sixth news. Mexican president blames U.S. in part for rise in violence in Sinaloa. Mexican President Andres Manuel López Obrador says the United States is partially responsible for a wave of violence in the state of Sinaloa that has left dozens dead in the past 2 weeks, with bodies repeatedly found on public streets and highways. As reported by CNN.com, Lopez Obrador suggested during a press conference Thursday that Washington help stir up enmity between factions of the Sinaloa drug cartel after arresting two cartel's leaders in the U.S. on July 25th. Sinaloa cartel co-founder Ismael El Amayo Zambada was arrested along with Joaquin Guzman Lopez, son of drug kingpin El Chapo Guzman, after they landed near El Paso, Texas, on a small plane. And the final news. Malaysia will open two new locations in Johor for Singapore vehicle owners to install their vehicle entry permit tags, a move that will boost its capacity to do so by 5 times. As reported by CNA.com, the Road Transport Department announced in a statement that the two new centers will open on Sunday. The statement said efforts to improve the VEPRFID tag registration process will be implemented by creating two additional facility locations to facilitate Singapore vehicle owners to install VEPRFID tag. And that was the news of Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Banjarmasin City, South Kalimantan Province. The Banjarmasin City Government, South Kalimantan, held the 2024 Indonesian Heritage City Network Expo, attended by at least 34 regencies or cities in Indonesia that are members of the network. The expo was held on Martapura River embankment at the viewing tower in central Banjarmasin from September the 18th until 22nd, displaying various regional products and goods as well as their culture. And according to Deputy Mayor of Banjarmasin, Arifin Nur, on Wednesday, the expo is part of the 5th Congress of the Indonesian Heritage City Network 2024. As a city that is 498 years old and is part of the Heritage City Network Forum in Indonesia, Banjarmasin City has a wealth of cultural heritage. Arifin said that Banjarmasin City is ready to collaborate more widely, including in international networks that are expected to connect to overseas. The next news comes from Bantul, Yogyakarta. The Wiwitan tradition or ritual as an expression of gratitude from farmers to God for the abundant harvest was held in Bangunjiwo Village, Bantul Regency, Special Region of Yogyakarta, to kick off the local rice harvest. Bantul Regent Abdul Halim Musli on Wednesday said that the Wiwitan tradition was combined with cultural activities that had become the local wisdom of the village as a form of mutual cooperation and the spirit of community togetherness. He explained that the agricultural sector is one of the development priorities in Bantul Regency because the majority of local people are engaged in farming. Village head Parja said that Bangunjiwo is one of the villages with the predicate of a culturally independent village that has the Wiwitan tradition. The last item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Padang, West Sumatra. Three art installation works from four West Sumatran artists were exhibited in the Passenger Arrivals Hall at the Minangkabau International Airport to commemorate the 5th anniversary of the determination of the Ombilin Sawah Lunto coal mining heritage as a world heritage. The exhibition curator Mahatma Muhammad in Padang Tuesday said the exhibition will run until December 2024. He said it is also a series of activities for Galanggang Arang 2024, which is a priority program of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology to strengthen the Ombilin Sawah Lunto coal mining heritage ecosystem, which has been designated by UNESCO as a World Heritage in 2019. The installation on display include Aset by Arif Rahman from the Rumah Adat Seni Community, Tree of Tales by Romy Armon
founder of Katolab the Earth and Black Goat Manuscript by artist Nasrul Palapa, owner of Gallery 89, and Erlangga from the Belanak Art Community. Through a decolonial and ethnographic approach, the three installations place local experiences and memories of the center of the narrative. It is a criticism that points out that the heritage is now celebrated while the harsh realities of past exploitation and oppression are almost forgotten. The Ombilin Sawah Lunto coal mining heritage may be recognized by the world, but the recognition doesn't necessarily erase the colonial traces it left behind. So this installation is an emergency warning of the dangers of forgetting the suffering that shaped the history of the community. At the same time, it is a hope to fight for a better future. That was news from across Indonesia.
Sesungguhnya sesungguhnya langit aspirasi.
Dear listeners and viewers of RRI, Voice of Indonesia, I am Luis Tsuboyama, Peruvian Ambassador to Indonesia. Allow me to wish Radio Republic Indonesia a happy birthday. RRI consistently plays as radio diplomacy to bridge public conversations between nations and cultures. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara.
We begin today in history with the event on September 21, 1945, about the takeover of Yogyakarta. Japan surrendered to the Allies at the end of the Second World War in August 1945. Afterwards, the Japanese also handed over their control of Indonesia, which they had previously colonized for many years. At the time, the political atmosphere in Indonesia was very chaotic, with various groups trying to fill the power vacuum left by the Japanese. As quoted by Kompas.com, on September 21, 1945, the power struggle began, marked by the lowering of the Japanese flag and the raising of the red and white flag at the Chokan Kantai building, now Gedung Agung. The incident caused the Japanese government to start getting nervous, particularly with the support of the special police. The action was followed up with employees in Yogyakarta on September 26, 1945 going on strike, especially those who work in government agencies and Japanese-controlled companies. The Japanese were forced to hand over all the offices they held to Indonesians. Moving on to September 21st, when the World Day of Peace celebrated internationally. The International Day of Peace was initiated in 1981 by the United Nations General Assembly. Two decades later, in 2001, the General Assembly unanimously endorsed designating the day as a period of non-violence and ceasefire. The UN General Assembly has declared today as a day devoted to strengthening the ideals of peace by observing 24 hours of non-violence and ceasefire. According to the International Day of Peace website, the International Day of Peace provides a globally common date for all humanity to commit to peace above all differences and contribute to building a culture of peace. We end today in history with the event of September 21st, earthquake shakes Qiqi, China. The Qiqi earthquake occurred in Qiqi, Nantou, Republic of China, on September 21, 1999. With a magnitude of 7.3, the epicenter was located at latitude 23.85 degrees and longitude 120.82 degrees E, 9.2 kilometers southwest of San Moon Lake. The depth of this earthquake was 8 kilometers. The earthquake killed 2,416 people and injured more than 11,000 people. That was today in history from Voice of Indonesia.
terdiam di tatapanmu, menghantui pikiranku. Terus menerus tak lupa hangat senyummu, hiasi gelap malamku. Oh oh, kau datang tak kuduga, beri aku tawa, bahagia hariku kau buat sempurna. Mungkin kita bisa berjalan bersama, tunggu sejenak ini belum saatnya. Serasa ku ingin katakan pada dunia, oh, seberapa ku inginkanmu teman hidupku yang dulu kelam, kau jadikan penuh makna. Tunggu sejenak, ini belum saatnya. Banyak harap untukmu. Oh, di dalam tidurku dan bangunku. Oh, kau datang tak kuduga, beri aku tawa, bagianku kau buat sempurna. Mungkin kita bisa berjalan bersama, tunggu sejenak ini.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on BNI Sydney can help boost the potential of diaspora small and medium enterprises. Member of Commission 6 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Martin Manurung, assessed that the presence of a representative's office of PT Bank Negara Indonesia Persero TBK or BNI in Sydney, Australia, can boost the potential of small and medium enterprises or Indonesian diaspora small and medium enterprises in Australia. Quoting the Antara report in Jakarta Thursday, Martin Manurung said that BNI's expansion to Australia is in line with the mandate of the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises, encourages the companies to expand their service reach globally. He hopes BNI Sydney can play a role in supporting economic growth and strengthening trade relations between Indonesia and Australia. Previously, BNI President Director Royke Tumilar explained with the status of a representative office, the main focus of BNI Sydney is to conduct research related to the economy and business in Australia. That way, BNI can provide useful market information, introduce potential investors, and provide banking solutions that support direct investment in strategic sectors.
BNI Sydney can also function as an information center for Indonesian and Australian entrepreneurs who want to explore new business opportunities. By holding seminars, workshops, and networking sessions, BNI can bring together business actors from both countries to establish mutually beneficial cooperation. In addition, BNI Sydney can also collaborate with embassies, consulates, and other business organizations to support government initiatives in increasing bilateral trade and investment. BNI Sydney is also expected to be a liaison for entrepreneurs from both countries who want to explore new business opportunities. BNI already has several other overseas offices in various countries, including Singapore, Hong Kong, Tokyo, Seoul, London, Amsterdam, and New York. According to Royke Tumilaar, with this global network, BNI is committed to continuing to support economic growth and strengthen business relations between Indonesia and the international world. That was my Indonesia Today.
Kita adalah dua insan penuh cinta. Di awal tercipta kisah kita, manis tuturmu buatku terpana. Bagiku kau sempurna.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Kampung Pasir Kole is located in Kutamana Village, Purwakarta Regency. Here, there is a tourism spot whose nickname is Sajuta Batu Village, and it presents a stunning view. The view is more perfect, with the magnificent background of Mount Parang and the vastness of Jatiluhur Lake with the blue sky stretching above it. This place offers not only a view that spoils the eyes, but also a calm and peaceful atmosphere. Listener, the village nicknamed Sajuta Batu Village is unique because it decorated with natural stones of varying size. The number of large stones scattered in various corners of Pasir Kole village also earned it nickname Taman Batu. The expanse of rice fields and green grass is very harmonious with the existing rocks. With beautiful scenery and a calming and soothing natural atmosphere, the tourism attraction is one of the attractions that you have to visit when visiting West Java, especially Purwakarta Regency. Here, visitors can also watch the charm of sunrise and sunset, which is so exotic. Listener, in this tourism spot, visitors can do various activities, such as relaxing or taking a walk while enjoying the calm atmosphere with full beauty. To reach Sajuta Batu Village tourism spot, visitors can take public or private vehicles. If you want to try public transportation, you can take a train from Jakarta or Bandung to Purwakarta Station, and continue by public transportation or taxi to Sajuta Batu Village. When you arrive at Sajuta Batu Village, of course, you will immediately be greeted with the sights of millions of towering andesite rocks. Listener, that's the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic.
Hujan kala Oktober.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
ITER's Anargya team win in Japan. Listeners, today's miscellany informs you about Indonesia's international achievement. The Anargya team from the 10 November Institute of Technology Surabaya East Java have again made history at the Formula Society Automotive Engineers Japan 2024. They successfully defended their title in the presentation event category and entered the top 10 in the electric vehicle class. This achievement is clear evidence that the innovation of young Indonesians is able to compete on the global stage. FSAE Japan is one of the most prestigious automotive competitions in the world, where students from various countries compete to design electric formula cars. The ITS Anargya team, which is the only Indonesian representative, faced 75 teams from other Asian countries. In this competition, they were faced with challenges not only in terms of technical design, but also business and marketing strategies that had to be presented in details. With creativity and deep understanding of digital technology and the environment, the Anargya team managed to stand out and win third place in the presentation category. In addition, FSAE event the Anargya EV Mark IV car made by ITS students had to pass various strict technical tests, including slope tests and ring tests. In this competition, the Anargya car was able to show extraordinary performance, passing all challenges well. The technology they developed, such as the recycled semiconductors and a waterproof protection system, is one of the innovation that makes them worthy of competing at the international level. All of this is the result of the team's hard work and dedication in preparing themselves during the competition. This achievement proves that young Indonesians have extraordinary potential in the fields of technology and innovation. And that's Miscellany.
Way down in memory lane.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will talk about a legendary song from Krisdayanti, or Kade. Krisdayanti began her singing career after winning the international competition in Asia Bagus in 1992. She released her debut, Terserah, in 1995, on which she did very well at that time. But Kade didn't stop there. She released another album in 1998 called Sayang, where she stepped in as producer for the first time. One of the leading songs from Sayang is Menghitung Hari, or Counting Days, written by Melly Goeslaw, well-known songwriter and singer from Indonesia. Menghitung Hari is about a woman waiting for a response after confessing her love, but despite uncertainty, she refused to give up on it. The song was a major hit in the market and helped Kade become one of the most successful female singers in 1990s. Well, listener, here is the song Menghitung Hari by Krisdayanti.
Menghitung hari detik demi detik, masaku nanti apakan ada jelang cerita kisah yang panjang menghitung hari. Padamkan saja kobar asmaram, jika putih itu takkan ada. Yang aku minta tulus hatimu, bukan puitis. Pergi saja cintamu pergi, saja kobar asmaramu, jika putih itu takkan ada. Yang aku minta tulus hatimu, bukan puitis. Pergi saja cintamu
of Indonesia.
Hati ini memang saja.
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram @voi_official. I'm Rahma, signing out. Bye for now.